Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. And now that, you know, podcasts, and you can reach the programs via recordings on my webpage, Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez. Well, you know, it depends on where you are. It could be in a car. It could be almost ready to sleep, whatever. I hope you're having a good time and in control, which is not always easy. I thought I'd start with, I like this, the saying, El Nuevo Día, and it came out the 17th of May, and it says, No importa lo lento que vayas mientras no pares, by Andy Warhol, it doesn't matter how slow you go so long as you don't stop. And I like this saying, especially for me when I laugh at myself doing the triathlons. I don't go very fast. In fact, as I say, some people walk past me as I jog, and tons of people pass me when I bicycle. And if we're getting in the pool, I mean, as I'm doing the my laps, some people do two of them, and that's if I'm not doing it when they're youngsters out there training, which is even worse. Especially if they have fins or whatever, you know, they have all these contraptions. One of the funny things in the swimming world, when you go into the lap pools, you know, like in Caparra Country Club, 50 meter ones. They have all kinds of things. They have like fins for their hands, and then they kind of have a foam thing for their legs so that their legs aren't moving. And then they do the put fins on their feet, and then just have a foam floating device that they propel themselves and. All kinds of these kinds of things, and they, of course, you do all kinds of you know, the backstroke and all, and the butterfly and everything else, and I just do the what's called the Australian crawl, and just plug away, not fast. It's kind of like the, you know, the story of the rabbit and the turtle, you know, with the turtle ending up winning. Of course, I don't win, but you know, but at least I think it doesn't matter how slow you go; it's that you don't stop. There was a doctor, and he had a saying. It was for a number of months. I haven't heard him in a long time, but he used to say, you know, never criticize the person for. You know, so long as they're trying and their intent, you know, they have the right intention and they're trying. It's kind of in the same vein. This week, I'm going to start off by saying I struck out three times with respect to last week, and so I want to go over them. You know, one of them was I mentioned. That the story of the Black Angus related to Anthony Tursi, that ended up being completely wrong, had the wrong nightclub. The second thing, I talking about the Trump-Xi meeting in Beijing, I said that probably nothing was going to happen with respect to Taiwan. I think things are happening with respect to Taiwan. And thirdly, I completely overlooked the possibility that Luma was going to contest appeal the removal from the federal court and Taylor Swain's jurisdiction to the local courts. And so those are, you know, three strikes, and let's go into them, and they each have a little bit of an offshoot. I want to talk a little bit about a movie I saw with my wife Pinky, The Devil Wears Prada, and two, and I think it has a significance within the definition of, you know, well-being, as a, so I'll do a little bit of analysis on and that movie, which I enjoyed. It's an enjoyable movie. I recommend it. I had recommended a few documentaries in Netflix, which I'm going to talk about some other time. But the Gorilla Story with Dave Attenborough, The Left-Handed Girl, are two that I really, really recommend. But anyway, so let's get on the Black Angus. It came, you know, there was, as I mentioned, the thing came up, it is typical of what this program is. Somebody mentioned something, I mentioned something else, and, you know, things go experience in the back, and you're thinking about, you know, the story. And it was on the track there, in front of my house at the Parque Cristi Gonzalez, and somebody mentioned that his daughter was in the fiscal auditing fraud section of the Treasury, Puerto Rico Treasury Department, and I brought up the story of a nightclub that it was like happened with the mafia. It was the income tax evasion, and Tony Tursi. And later on, these things kind of, you know, flow. Later on, I thought about and I couldn't remember what was the nightclub, and I came up with the name Black Angus, and lo and behold, there's an article, literally 3 minutes after I came up with the name, there was an article on the story, a new book on the Black Angus nightclub, so I kind of mentioned, you know, the thing with that story as how Puerto Rico Treasury, at least that was my recollection or is my recollection, that Puerto Rico Treasury was able to tie down tax evasion using the laundry of the sheets in the rooms that were used by these prostitutes at this nightclub that I mentioned was the Black Angus. And had to do with Anthony Tursi. And so even as I was reading I told us my wife the story, and she gave me a few days ago, she purchased the book. The author is Juan José Díaz. He's a communicator and a journalist, and after many years, wrote the story, and it's and I read through it. It's very easy reading. I recommend it. It's called, and they have it in English, both Spanish and English. In Spanish, it's Desde la Barra del Black Angus, Confesiones de un Bartender, from behind the bar, the bar of the Black Angus, you know, Confessions of a Bartender. And it's easy reading it that I'm kind of smiling because in the Harvard Law School exams, it was always in caps at the beginning that your answers should be, you know, clear and concise. And I have that so ingrained in my mind to try to be clear and to try to be concise. And this book is that it's clear, it's short, it's clear. The chapters are two or three pages, and it reads very well, very well written, and it's kind of fun on that swirl. He wasn't there very long, but he started off as a kind of a chauffeur, you know, doing, you know, going doing errands and driving the owner, who was his uncle, Tito, and you know, a fascinating story. So, The mistake I made is that Anthony Tursi has another nightclub called La Riviera, and I looked up, I Googled La Riviera and Anthony Tursi, and it at least it's on Wikipedia, and it turns out that my story about the income tax evasion using the laundry invoices. At least according to this, it was shut down because of criminal and all, but it had to do with Eastern Airlines ticket stock, which, you know, it's news to me. I like my story is, pardon the pun, sexier, huh? And but it ended up, you know, because of criminal problems and so the end result was the same. I can't separate out the La Riviera from the Black Angus, you know, neither they kind of like blend together, but according to this book, it's he doesn't compare it to La Riviera. He does compare it to these go-go girl places where you know, mostly nude women dance and you know, with the poles and all that kind of stuff, and that this nightclub was, well, according to his, you know, was very relatively formal. It had three business aspects, and it was run very businesslike. It had the bar, and some people just went to the bar and drank and you know, and this and that and talked and all. It had a Chinese restaurant, and they were all kind of blended together with different doors, but you could walk from one place to the other, and this restaurant, the Chinese restaurant, was run leased to the Chinese group that ran the restaurant. You know, why it was the Black Angus, and it was incorporated as the Miramar Steakhouse, and it was the commercial name was the Black Angus Steakhouse, but everybody knew it, and the signs were for the Black Angus nightclub. So, kind of, and then of course the steakhouse was a Chinese restaurant. It's all kind of, you know, you gotta as well. But it had the bar and. We'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that happened with respect to the bartender and serving drinks. And then the Chinese restaurant, according to the book, I never went there. It was a very good Chinese restaurant. And a lot of people went just for that and all. And then the third business was with the prostitutes. And the business with the prostitutes was the renting of the rooms. They had, according to the book, had nothing to do with what the prostitutes charged and frankly what they did. They just charged $20 for what it's hard to believe 15 minutes and you know, for the room, and the prostitutes did their own decision as to, you know, what they would be charging and who they would be dealing with, and then of course the rooms after each session, all the sheets would be, and towels and everything else would be completely cleaned, and the room and everything else. So, according to the author, Juan José Díaz, it was, you know, very very impeccably run and monitored and carefully handled. And the hours of the bar and the prostitutes was 4 in the afternoon to 12 was one shift, and the other shift was from 8 in the evening to 4 in the morning. And he, as a bartender, would change from one shift, one kind of shift to the other. And apparently the prostitutes did also. And there were 50 prostitutes. He said they had never had any problem recruiting them. More towards the 8 to 4 shift than from the 4 to 12. But, you know, of course, the big hour there was 8 to 12. where there was so more business, more people at the nightclub and all. The various takeaways, you know. First of all, he emphasizes how it was a business and was run very, very well and very carefully and very traditionally, and the inventories and the control of the drinks and what happened. For example, the prostitutes would be working these shifts, and if they were to leave earlier and not go up to their room, they would have to make arrangements with the manager and pay for a kind of a penalty for the hours that they wouldn't be working. So if somebody working from 4 to 12 and they wanted to leave with somebody at 10, well, there was a fee for this, what normally would be the business from 10 to 12. It was, you know, you got to kind of smile at all of this business. For example, another interesting thing that all drinks, whether it was water, soda, beer, and mixed drinks, whatever it was, everything was $3.50. It didn't matter what you ordered. You got, depending on the drink, the different containers, but everything was charged at $3.50. It kind of simplified everything, and it said, since you would pay $3.50 for the Heineken as well as the less expensive beer, so most people would then say, well, if I have to pay the same, they would order the Heineken. What the other takeaway I had is he put some, his position as a fact. He tells that that he was quoting about himself, intelligent and good with numbers and very honest, and yet there was a lot of dishonesty going on in the way the business was run. For example, the drinks they gave generic when substituted for the people were thinking of the premium the alcohol. And they would be giving, generic kinds of vodka that's produced in Puerto Rico for the at that time I think Stolichnaya was the big vodka, they would be charging for the drinks by the prostitutes, but the prostitutes would be drinking alcohol. They would be making believe they were drinking alcohol, but it was water. We run out of time. I can't believe in the first segment, so we'll be back a few more comments on the world of the Black Angus, which I kind of have to. I enjoyed. I hope you're enjoying some of these stories, and especially how he ends up developing within the Black Angus. Okay, so we're right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections.